Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to HIV Hope and Charity, a podcast series brought to you by TVPS, a charity that's been supporting people affected by HIV since 1985. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jess, and we work for TVPS. And our aim is to get as many people as possible HIV educated. If you like the podcast, please rate, subscribe, and leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Welcome to HIV Hope and Charity.
Hello.
Hello, you're right.
Really, really good.
Oh, gosh. Excellent. Yeah.
Well, it's been amazing weather and just still living off the highness of, is that what you call it? Well, I'm going to call it that. The highness of our HIV Living Memorial, which I've not stopped banging on about, Sarah.
No, I know. We're having a good time at the moment.
Lots of press interest. I've literally just been on the phone with some other press, just not to brag or anything, that we're just doing press calls all the time, but you know. Just saying. Wow.
This is your life now. Just fielding calls from the press.
To be honest, I'm normally fielding them because they actually want to speak to you. So I'm like your PA that's like, this is a quote from Sarah. Like, I'm more like that. Here's a photo of Sarah. This is how long Sarah's worked at the charity. They want the big cheese, don't they? Le Grand Fromage.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for fielding all the calls. You had a very glamorous morning compared to me. My cat was sick all over the carpet. That's nice.
Oh, no. Why?
I don't know.
Bless her, though. That's not fun. But she feels okay now.
You think so? She's eating.
Who had to clean it up? You?
Me. I'm the only one here.
Well, I mean, that's fair enough. Then it does fall to you.
I suppose it's something that she did it at my feet rather than went away and did it somewhere that I then find 3 weeks later. So that's thoughtful of her.
That feels like she's giving you a present, though. If she's coming right to your feet and like, bleh.
Excellent.
Feels like, here you go. Yeah. Doesn't she normally bring you mice and small birds?
Baby birds, that's her speciality.
Well, I'm glad she's feeling better nonetheless. And is she in with you? Is she joining
she's
us for the recording?
She's always next to me.
She's so quiet. I literally had to chase Rita. Rita is one of my dogs. You guys have heard Jimbo a lot on here. He is the mouthy, barky one. Rita is very quiet. She desperately wants to be in here all the time, especially when I'm recording. So I had to kind of try and lure her out and she wouldn't come. In the end, I just had to pick her up, shove her outside the door. She's very upset about that.
Oh.
She's too noisy. She kind of makes these weird little grumbles and yawns and things. I mean, Gracie is perfect because I've never known, to be honest, that she has been with us when you record.
No, she's always here. She's always like lying kind of next to me or, you know, not far away. Stroke her. She's good.
I'm going to share a picture of our animals this week so that people actually know what we're talking about. And at some point, probably should share a picture of my mum as well because we talk about her enough. Just saying, everyone's going to have their pictures out there. So everyone's like, I can now see what Gracie looks like. I know what Bernie looks like. Jimbo, Rita, got it.
Fabulous. Oh, our team's expanding. How lovely.
Anyway, so, I mean, the question every week is the same. What are we doing? Hero history?
Well, we're doing a hero. Do you know, actually,
God, we're just going to go off on tangents all the way through this. Do you know what's depressing? Lauren, who checks our edited podcast before it goes live, she is half my age. That's depressing in itself. And sometimes I forget that. And we were talking last week about how cargo pants or combat trousers are coming back into fashion. I love them. And I was saying, I love that era. All Saints, they were my favourite band. And she literally just went, who? So this episode is for Lauren. I know for a fact you'll never have heard of this person. And if any of our listeners are wondering who All Saints are, A, we can't be friends in real life, obviously. And B, you'll probably not have heard of this person either.
Oh, wow. You're really like cutting people off. Like, no, I'm not interested. If you haven't heard of All Saints, you're not for me. You're that hard line.
They're iconic.
Because they were only around for quite a short period of time, weren't they? Oh, no. I like them. Don't get me wrong. Who didn't like All Saints? Like, never, ever. What a song.
Absolutely. You're right. They did split up and then the Appleton sisters were just together on their own. They released an autobiography, which I've read. In fact, I've got a copy of it here.
Is it any good? Because didn't they both marry someone called Liam? One Liam Howlett, one Liam Gallagher, right?
Yes, they did. As books go. I mean, it's interesting if you like that sort of thing. It's not going to, you know, it didn't change my world.
No good advice you want to share with us? Oh, you should have got quotes from it. Okay, that's fine. Right. Alongside all the other pictures I've said we're going to share, Lauren's going in this week as well, as are All Saints. This week, everyone's getting on social media. Again, if you're just trying to look for it on the podcast listing, it's not going to be there with all the pictures. It's on our social media. But yeah, you're getting like a bumper edition of 1,000 pictures just so that you have reference points. So you're welcome.
So I'm going to reveal who we're talking about now, having built it up a little bit.
Is it of the All Saints era?
No, way before that. No, we are looking at a famous American actor whose name was Rock Hudson.
Okay.
Look at you, like, nope, I've not heard of him either.
No, I've definitely heard of Rock Hudson, but do you know what? I know he was really close with Elizabeth Taylor, who obviously we've covered before, and he's part of why she wanted to move forward and do much so awareness, isn't she, and help the HIV industry so much. And I know he was in films, and I know there's a lot of speculation around his sexuality, I think, but that is it. I couldn't name you a film he was in. So I am, as always, grateful we're doing this.
Oh, well, do you know, he was one of the first famous people. I think he was probably the first, but without doing tons of research, can't prove that. So we'll say he was one of the first to admit he had HIV. And he was definitely the first American celebrity to die of AIDS. Well, his career actually spanned about 3 decades, say from the 1950s right the way through to the 80s. And he's described as a heartthrob. Who uses that word now? Heartthrob of the golden age of Hollywood. Do you know what? The youth of today, they would probably describe him as Peng. Yeah. So I only found that out the other day. So now I'm going to use it every opportunity.
Did one of your sons say it?
It was on social media and I asked them. You know, and they just gave me that really withering look, like, oh, God, you're so ancient.
Yeah.
Like a modern day equivalent. I don't know, but I'd say Tom Cruise, but there's probably a more modern day equivalent.
I see. Yeah, I was going to say that is not a modern day equivalent.
No, exactly.
Equivalent is, do you know what? I think I couldn't even, I'm not much younger than Sarah, but I really just like trashy TV. So I do watch a lot of kind of younger things that are probably pitched at way below my age bracket. Like, and even I couldn't tell you who, I want to say when they're Helmsworths, but again, I think they're a bit older now.
Oh dear, this is depressing. Anyway, think legendary actor status. Lauren listening to this right now, probably screaming names out.
Right, Lauren, this is a challenge for her while she's listening to this edit. A, we're going to challenge to see if she listens to the edit. B, who give us a modern day heartthrob and we will put it in the notes. Tell us a modern day heartthrob, please.
Now, look, we all know that I've got no idea about films, but I do know that Rock Hudson starred in Giant, which also starred Elizabeth Taylor. I know that from our very own podcast that we did on her. So I'm literally educating myself. Also know that Giant starred James Dean. Even Lauren's got to have heard of him.
She better have, or I'm not sure she can sit in the office with us anymore.
No, this is very true. He was also in 2 films I've never heard of, Magnificent Obsession and All That Heaven, but they are mentioned on Wikipedia, so they must have been big. He was basically known for being the leading man in adventure films.
Okay.
So that's like, where he's kind of, his talent lies.
I mean, he's a handsome guy, wasn't he? I've seen pictures. Oh, gosh, yeah. Like, rugged.
Rugged. That's an old person's expression.
Well, we've just established that we're old, so.
Oh, there, yes, rugged, good, chiseled looks.
Ooh, yeah, see? Okay, we'll share a picture of Rock Hudson too, obviously.
Yes. Anyway, these films, they propelled him to be voted the most popular actor in America cinemas in 1957, and he stayed in the top 10 until 1964. Again, that is from Wikipedia. Doesn't state what top 10. I might start a top 10 for HIV workers. I'd be number one. You can be number two.
Is Lauren number three, but only on the proviso she knows who James Dean is?
Yeah.
Okay, I like it. I like that top 10 already.
There you go. The other seven, open to nominations.
Send them to us, obviously.
Now, look, his career, it didn't go all his own way. He turned down some really big films, like the lead in Ben-Hur, the lead in Bridge Over the River Kwai. I know.
I have and seen that.
What, Bridge Over the River Kwai or Ben-Hur?
Yeah. Just Bridge Over the River Kwai. My dad really loved like war films and things like that. You know, always having Apocalypse Now on or things like that.
Oh, did he like The Great Escape?
No, I only recently watched that.
Love that film.
The original, though, yeah, not the redo with the weird minis. Well, I know the original has minis, but, you know, they did a remake. I think it had Mark Wahlberg in it.
Isn't that The Italian Job?
Wait, what did you... I was like, what the hell have minis got to do with the war? You're talking
minis
about
The Great Escape.
That one.
Let's move on. Let's just move on. Edit it all out. It'll be fine. Oh, dear. So, yeah, again, we're butchering another episode of our podcast with awful film knowledge.
There's animals everywhere. They're making noise. They're vomiting on us. We're getting everything wrong. We're putting ourselves in a top 10. Talking about how old we are. This is the worst one yet. This is the worst one we've ever done.
Yes, no, you're absolutely right. It is the worst one. It's like we strive to outdo ourselves each week by being more and more terrible.
I can't believe I just got that so wrong. Go on, Rock Hudson.
He is turning down some films that were huge, starring in others that weren't so big, weren't box office hits. Then he branched out into romantic comedies and he starred with people like Doris Day. And he also starred in other films, which I won't list because our film knowledge is so appalling. But he was acting alongside people like Cary Grant, Julie Andrews, John Wayne. You know, he's a true Hollywood legend.
Does he have a star on the Walk of Fame?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he does. Yes. So he's a big superstar. He branches out into TV, as most of them did, as TV became more popular. And then in the early 80s, his health started to deteriorate, mainly because of years of heavy drinking and smoking, which I think is the same for a lot of Hollywood actors from that era who were living the good life. I mean, if you watch black and white films now, don't you find it shocking if someone's lighting up a cigarette in a train carriage? I'm outraged.
Even ones more present day, Ben and I watched Candyman because he'd never seen it before, the original. Do you remember the horror film Candyman? And they've just done a follow-up with Jordan Peele. This is relevant, by the way. I'm not just taking us on another bonkers tangent. And I think that's from the 90s. And there's a girl there and they're doing like a thesis and she's interviewing one of the students. And she's just there interviewing the student, just smoking inside. And I was just like, what? And you forget, don't you, that that was just fine. And now you look at that and you sort of go, that is so sort of inappropriate in that setting. You're interviewing someone. This is not the place to be having a fag.
No, I just find it, yeah, really, really shocking. So strange, isn't it, how times have changed?
Yeah, and I want to point out, Sarah and I both not being judgy because we both used to smoke. So with no way are we judging smokers.
Oh, gosh, no, definitely not. It's just that you don't see it on TV these days.
Yes, and I don't think you realise how little you see it now in like TV and film until something like that, like you're saying, when you're watching a film and all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, people used to smoke on planes. You know, it blows my mind.
I know, it's strange, isn't it? So his smoking, I mean, it had an effect on him. He had a heart attack in November 1981. He had emergency quintuple heart bypass surgery.
I'd say quintuple. I'm actually quite sure about this one. I think it's because you'd say quintuplets, wouldn't you?
That's true. Heart surgeons everywhere shaking their head at our pronunciation. And I do think they listen while they're saving lives. Operating on people. They've got us on in the background.
Yeah, they're like, this will be soothing.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, anyway, so he had this major heart surgery. So they operated on all five major arteries. It's medical knowledge going well too. Yep. That link into the heart.
Your mole removal business yet?
McAdams Mole Removal Service.
Yeah, have you started
not
that yet?
But I will.
Sorry, for anyone not with us, just last episode. need to go and have a listen.
When I perform my surgery, I'm going to have us on in the background. Not this episode, obviously. I'll pick a better one. Anyway, he recovered. So major heart surgery. He recovers. He appears in Dynasty. Do you remember Dynasty?
Guest yes.
appearance on there. But his health deteriorated further and he was written out. Now, you've touched on this earlier, because although he had a phenomenal acting career, one thing was very much kept brushed under the carpet, and that was that Rock Hudson was gay. It's one of the things that everyone in the industry knew about, but nobody talked about. And back then, being gay just wasn't acceptable. In the same way as we've talked about Charlie Sheen being blackmailed by the press about his HIV status, back in the 50s, Rock Hudson was threatened with exposure about his sexuality by the press. Look, the facial expressions have started.
It's just horrible, isn't it? I just hate to think that anyone ever has to go through something like that.
I know. Well, apparently his agent did a deal where he disclosed information on two of his other clients to protect Rock Hudson. So he basically sold them out. One of them had been in prison. One of them had been arrested. And he's basically, guys, I've got stories on these two if you don't do this story on Rock Hudson.
What a terrible agent.
What a way to deal with it. Not long after that, Rock Hudson married his agent's secretary and she filed for divorce 3 years later. So I think that was probably part of the cover up, wasn't it? There was also in the 70s, there were always kind of, I think, rumours about him. So in the 70s, there was a myth, it could be an urban myth, I don't know, that a group of gay men had an annual get together sent out as a joke, an invitation that invited people to Rock Hudson's marriage to a guy called Jim. And it was a joke. There was no truth behind it, but it kind of went not viral because they didn't have viral at the time. I suppose mainstream, you'd say it went mainstream, wouldn't you?
Right.
And the press actually helped deny this because there was no truth in it whatsoever. It's just a group of gay guys thought this would be hilarious. But by that stage, you can imagine his agent must have been pulling his hair out.
After literally selling out all the other clients, he's got no one left. It's just him and Rock Hudson. No one wants to work anymore with this person. And you know, this
and then rumours hit the headlines that Rock Hudson's getting married to some guy called Jim. He must have been like, no, just give me a break. But I guess what it illustrates is that, you know, he's a big star. He's got an image to portray and he can't be himself in the public eye, because if he were to be, that potentially could ruin his public image. So you can imagine if it had been leaked that he'd contracted HIV. He was diagnosed with HIV in June 1984. Now, that's really early on, as we know, and they'd only just identified what HIV and AIDS were, and he didn't tell anybody, certainly nobody that would have been able to sell the story to the press. Kept working, and in his spare time, he's travelling to France for treatment, because like everyone else, he was just desperate for anything to cure him or anything to help. And he can afford to travel, so he can travel around the world to get whatever treatment he needs or wants.
God, that must be stressful, means, though.
Yeah, really stressful. And we know there was no treatment.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's pinning a lot of hope on something that's not going to work. And he's having to keep his sexuality and his health issues a secret. That's a lot of stress for anyone to be under. July 1985, he joined Doris Day for a press conference. She's launching a new show called Doris Day's Best Friends, and he's recorded visiting her ranch. Now, both the recording and his presence at the press conference caused alarm. So he looks very gaunt. Some say that his speech is very difficult to understand, and the press all over this, speculating he's ill. 2 days after the press conference, travels to France for more treatment, and he collapses in his hotel room. At this point, his publicist releases a statement, and the statement says that he has inoperable liver cancer. But rumours are circulating that he's got AIDS. I mean, you can imagine.
And we still hear similar rumours in this day and age, don't we, of where someone high profile might be ill and their publicist has said one thing, but then, as we know, the rumour mill goes bonkers about, you know, what else it could be.
Absolutely. I mean, 4 days later, publicist confirms that he does have AIDS. They have no choice. By now, the press are in overdrive. They're just not going to let this story drop. So it's better just to come clean and say, yes, he has. He was flown back to America. He spent some time in hospital and then he received palliative care at home. And he died on the 2nd of October, 1985, at the age of 59. Didn't have a funeral at his own request. We were talking about this the other day, weren't we? I don't want a funeral. I don't believe in them. I feel me and Rock Hudson of the same mind.
Mm. Yeah, he's quite ahead of his time, isn't he, with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, there are lots of rumours as to why he didn't want to have a funeral, but maybe he just didn't want a fuss. He'd had enough time in the public eye. just wanted to slip away quietly.
And like you don't want a funeral. Like we've said, we talked about that a couple of times, how actually you'd prefer not to. And I think that's all right. I don't know why we can't respect people's wishes without, you know, there being rumours. Although, would you like me to start a rumour for you about why you're not having a funeral? I could make something jazzy up.
What would you say? I need to veto what you're going to say.
Oh, wow. That's really put me on the spot. Sarah doesn't want a funeral because she's worried that people will be so, like, they'll cry so much, they'll be so sad that they will be physically sick. Do you want me to start that rumour?
No, let's work on it.
Yeah.
Let's work on what rumours we put out there. So back to Rock Hudson. So other than being the first famous person to die from AIDS, we need to look at what made him heroic. And really, I think it's his legacy. It's like so many other people we featured. It's their legacy that makes them more heroic than other people. So we can start looking at his legacy and also understand what on earth he was facing. Do you want to know some of the media headlines when he died?
I mean, not really. I do, because I'm partaking in this podcast, but I feel they're going to be awful.
Well, it might help people understand why it was so brave that he was honest, bearing in mind that nobody had ever kind of broken this news before.
Good point.
We'll start with the Daily Mail. I featured really high quality newspapers. So the Daily Mail headline was "The Last Days of Rock Hudson." But the byline, I don't know why. I laugh not out of just sheer, what's the word I'm looking for?
Horror.
That's the one.
Disbelief.
The byline, "He died a living skeleton and was so ashamed."
How would they know? That's ridiculous.
I know. And that's why I almost laughed, because I was like, oh, God, here we go. The Star told you, top line newspapers here, "Rock, the agony is over. AIDS victim weighed less than 7 stone. Why focus on his weight? So weird.
And how would they know? Again, how would they know? I mean, we're just making things up at this point.
No, I know. I mean, another, I think this one is the Mirror. I'll explain why I can't see the top of it in a minute. But I think it was the Mirror said, "The hunk who lived a lie." And that's because he didn't tell the truth. But he did, but not until right before his death. Or maybe they're saying he lived a lie in terms of his sexuality. Either way, awful.
Yeah, that is awful. And it's not living a lie. He knew. I know we talked about this before. It's no one else's business. Don't know why the newspapers seem to think that if you're famous, you must tell everybody everything the entire time, or you're an awful person living a lie.
I know. Another one. These are from a compilation that Pink News put together. So they're kind of laid over each other. So you can't always see the top of the paper. But it says, "Hollywood made the legend. Rock Hudson lived the lie."
What?
I know.
Oh, I don't like that.
And then you've got The Sun, whose headline is not, it's, you know, it just says, "Rock Hudson is dead. AIDS kills him at 59. But it's the first paragraph of the article says, "Screen legend Rock Hudson finally lost his battle against AIDS last night." Finally lost his battle, like we've all been waiting for him to die. Why would you write it like that? So weird.
You can understand why people felt the way they did at the time around HIV because of media stories like this. It makes it really difficult when everyone around you read that this is the point of view, you know?
I know. I mean, when he announced he had HIV sort of 3 months earlier, papers full of the story. What was their angle, Jessica?
What was their angle? Was it still that he was living a lie? I don't know.
Well, kind of. They all...
Was it all on his sexuality is what I'm trying to say? Was it all around that, surely?
How he caught it. That's all they focused on.
I don't know if we've said this. I'm sure we have a million times. But again, if ever someone tells you they're positive, don't ask them how they contracted. It's completely irrelevant. Absolutely irrelevant. Someone wants to talk to you and tell you, they will. Don't ask them. It's just none of your business.
I know. Well, the media should have listened up at the time. And there was also, I mean, there was lots of media coverage when he died about his sexuality. Of course, there was loads of people claiming they'd known he was gay and that it had to be covered up. Everyone kind of wanting their kind of bit in the spotlight, I guess. And, you know, even right up until his death, he'd never formally announced that he was gay. Why should he? It's nobody's business. But this is what it all kind of centred on. But there was some awareness raising around HIV and AIDS going on at the same time. So Joan Rivers, we featured her, didn't we, in the Elizabeth Taylor podcast?
Yeah.
She was quoted as saying at the time, 2 years ago, when I hosted a benefit for AIDS, I couldn't get one major star to turn out. Rock's admission is a horrendous way to bring AIDS to the attention of the American public. But by doing so, Rock in his life has helped millions in the process. What Rock has done takes true courage. And she's right. We also had the People magazine at the time. They reported since Hudson made his announcement, more than $1.8 million in private contributions, more than double the amount collected in 1984, the previous year, has been raised to support AIDS research and to care for AIDS victims. A few days after he died, American Congress set aside $221 million to develop a cure for AIDS.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that's quite an impact of someone saying they're positive. That's quite an impact that's had.
Yeah, it is. I mean, his diagnosis and his death, I mean, I think it probably made AIDS more real for some people, more tangible. But when it comes to stigma, although conversations were happening, stigma was still rife. So after his diagnosis, there was controversy, and it was to do with a kiss he'd shared with Linda Evans in Dynasty. So when he filmed the scene, he knew he had AIDS, but he didn't tell anybody. So she didn't know. And some felt he should have done. Now, we know you can't catch HIV from kissing, but at that time, it was thought you could contract from saliva and tears. I know. Although there'd never been any reported cases of transmission by kissing, but the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in the States, had warned back then not to exchange saliva with groups perceived to be at high risk of AIDS.
Okay, so I was going to be horrified initially, but then if the CDC are giving, that's the official advice, then you probably are going to feel that way.
Yeah, but do you know what? I feel I'm really down on the CDC and all their misinformation. And I know at the time, you're right, they could only go on kind of what they knew. And their role is to protect the public. I think it's their wording that grates with me. And for balance, I should point out, I'm also very scathing about our government's handling of the AIDS pandemic in the 80s too. I don't know. I mean, hindsight's amazing, isn't it? Looking back, you just think, oh, what were they doing?
Don't we say that about the COVID pandemic?
You know, yeah. That's so true, recent, actually,
but
yes.
I feel like when you're in it, and again, I'm not trying to defend any of them. I agree with you. I think it's all been handled so terribly. But I think you're just sort of going with it. You've got no idea what's happening. The information's changing so quickly. You're trying to make decisions for the best. I don't know. And I'm sure it must have felt like that back in the day.
You know, this COVID's not the first pandemic. It won't be the last pandemic. And yet I know that when the next pandemic hits, and there will be another one, we'll make the same mistakes again and again. I'm sure of it.
I think that's the issue. In the panic of everything happening, we're not looking back and going, right, what is similar and where can we pick up those lessons? What can we learn from the past pandemics? Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Well, you can be there for the next pandemic being like, guys, hi, here's Sarah McAdams' recommendations. Yeah. That'll be the rumor I'll start about you. It'll be that you saved the world with your recommendations. That will be the rumor. It won't be anything about your death. It would just be, I would just start that.
Okay. I'm on board with that.
Sarah McAdams, savior of the world, mole remover.
There's quite a few people that would object to me being classed as the savior of the world. That's quite an accolade.
No, but that's the rumor, you see.
Well, I look forward to the Daily Mail headlines. Marvelous. Anyway, right, the Screen Actors Guild, they commented on what they called the Dynasty Kiss, saying that Rock's revelation had caused panic within the film and TV industry and scripts were being rewritten to eliminate kissing scenes. They later issued rules that required actors to be notified in advance of any open mouth kissing scenes and that they could refuse to participate and they wouldn't be penalised.
So was there like a 10-year period where there was just no kissing at all?
Well, I think until the CDC changed the guidelines, yes, there probably was. Although, why would they specify only open mouth kissing? Surely closed mouth kissing, there would be a risk of saliva there.
Why is there? How do you kiss? Do you lick your lips before you kiss someone?
Always.
Oh, no.
I mean, now I just sound like I'm a really wet kisser.
Yeah. Yeah, that is how that sounds. Like, you're probably like, because your lips are dry, aren't they? It's just skin.
Okay, let's move on.
Well, unless what I was thinking was, because they said tears, maybe they thought if someone was giving someone a peck but crying, it's really upset about it.
But even if you're doing a kiss, even if you're like no tongues, there's still a tiny bit of... My husband's so lucky. Can't specify the type of kiss. No tongues. No, not tonight.
A really salivary, no tongue, closed mouth kiss. Yes. Okay. Oh, maybe they meant a kiss on the cheek. Maybe a kiss on the cheek was okay.
Oh, just open mouthed kissing scenes. Lovely. Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't sound nice, does it?
No, definitely not. Anyway, we should point out Linda Evans wasn't fussed about the whole thing. She asked to introduce a segment of the 1985 Commitment to Life AIDS benefit that was dedicated to Rock Hudson. So I think it was just her industry that were up in arms and not her personally.
That's actually quite good to know that, because my instant thought when you had described this was that it was her that was mad about it. So it's nice to know that actually it wasn't.
And there is one more thing. Can't speak now, so I'm just thinking about all those dry
about licking your lips and giving Fraser a big kiss later. I'm not going to get that image out of my head now. You'll be like, come here.
You just woke the cat up. Oh, it's okay. Oh, dear.
It's just getting worse.
Right. There's so much editing to do with this episode. That'll keep you quiet for a few days. One more thing to look at with Rock Hudson. There was a lawsuit. Of course there was a lawsuit. It's America. After his death, his former lover, Mark Christian, sued his estate on the grounds of intentional infliction of emotional distress. He claimed that Rock had continued to have sex with him up until February 1985. After he'd known that he had HIV. In fact, more than 8 months after he knew he had HIV. Mark Christensen tested negative for HIV repeatedly. So his claim was based on the fact that he'd found out via the media that Rock had HIV. He also sued Rock's personal secretary, claiming he lied to him about Rock's health. His case was successful and he was awarded damages of $5.5 million. So, you know, not everyone was stigmatising Rock about his AIDS diagnosis. This one cashed in on it.
Can't believe he got so much money.
Well, do you know what? I mean, I'm no lawyer, as we know. But I would have thought it was pretty hard to evidence that you'd had sex with someone who's now dead whilst they were alive. I mean, how do they defend themselves? I don't know. I just don't get it. How do you build a case?
To me, if I'm really honest, it just sounds like they were like, oh, we don't really want to deal with this. We're a bit scared of it. We don't know what to do. Have some damages.
Poor Rock Hudson.
How do you prove any of that? I mean, perhaps there is a way that he did, who knows, but it just seems quite far-fetched, doesn't it? But like you said, you get people that come out of the woodwork all the time, don't you, that want a piece of the action and want to get their payday, I guess.
I know. So there you go. I mean, that's all you need to know about Rock Hudson, the first famous person to die of AIDS.
I thought we'd mention Elizabeth Taylor more, but I like that we didn't, because obviously we featured, there's a whole episode on Elizabeth Taylor, if anyone wants to hear more about her. But like I was saying in the beginning, it's nice that we didn't, because that's really the link that I knew about Rock Hudson. I didn't know any of these past things. And I do think he was a hero.
I really do, actually. He was very brave in those last few months. He would have known all the kind of the media spotlight that would have been on him. And
well, dealing with the pressure of that while you're also dealing with your own health issues is just, it's just too much. It's just like, no, enough now. But I am going to go and watch Giant.
Oh, I fear I ought to.
What's it about?
I don't know.
A massive lady.
Me?
You said it earlier, like you really knew what it was. And I was like, I don't know what this film is.
I'd heard of it because I knew Elizabeth Taylor was in it. I didn't know James Dean was in it. And then I was like, God, this is a really big film.
Right, let's have a look. I'm googling it. 1956. It's got 88% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's really good. So, Giant. Rock Hudson played Bick Benedict. Elizabeth Taylor was Leslie Benedict. And this is amazing. James Dean's character was called Jet Rink. And it's a Texas ranching family fights to survive changing times. Bick Benedict, Rock, the Texan rancher, falls in love with the horse owner's daughter and they immediately get married. That's literally what the synopsis says. Ooh. I mean, I'm sure there's more than that. But box office, 39 million.
I mean, it's no Bridget Jones, is it? But I'm willing to give it a go.
Well, shall I watch it first and then let you know if you'll like it or not? Let you know if it's depressing.
Oh, yeah, not depressing or stressful in any way. I can't imagine it would be. It's just a drama.
I don't know. It said fights for survival, Sarah. Did you not hear that bit? That bit sounds quite, you know, intense.
Oh, no. Do you know, I find even like cowboy films, they're very stressful. Everyone's so angry, trying to kill each other.
That's true. But I find modern day action films in that bracket for me. It's just like Marvel ones. I know everyone loves them. No disrespect to the Marvel universe, cinematic universe, whatever it's called. Just too much. It's just, God, is there ever a day off? Just running around while the world ends and things blow up.
I agree. I saw a tiny bit of, I think it was Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man. It's like an assault on your senses. The noise, the action, it's so fast paced. I don't understand how anyone keeps pace with what the story's about. I've never felt my age more.
I was going to say, this is, again, more evidence of how old we are, because we're like, oh, no, I don't understand.
In my day, films were a bit gentler.
What was Notting your favourite childhood film?
The Wizard of Oz.
That's so dark. You're so dark. The witch is just gives me nightmares. Didn't she get painted with lead paint and she got really... No, that's the Tin Man, isn't it? The paint had lead in it and he was so ill. And wasn't... what's her name? Allegedly, wasn't she taking a lot of drugs? I'm sure she'd said.
Oh, Judy Garland.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she had quite an unhappy time of it, didn't she?
She really did. But that was your favourite, was it?
One of my favourite films.
Really? Even
yes.
Now? Good grief.
I know. I used to love it.
No, thank you.
That and BMX Bandits, obviously.
What is BMX Bandits? Is it good?
Load of kids ride around on BMXs, sorting out the world.
That does sound good. That does sound nice. I think that's fair enough. Mine was The Yellow Submarine, but my parents, we didn't really watch Disney when we were younger. You've seen it, but do you know what a Blue Meanie is? I'm going to show you, Sarah, because honestly, I would say it's my favourite film because it was, and I would watch it all the time. But I also would have constant nightmares, mother, just letting you know this, about the Blue Meanies. I'm going to find your picture. They were so scary.
Oh, yes. How is that scary?
You joke it. One of them creeps up this little hill, like with just his eyes over the top of it. It's so harrowing, honestly. And then, do you know what my mum did? She let me watch It when I was about 8. Brilliant.
Oh, with the clown.
Hence my fear of, clowns forevermore.
Oh, isn't that weird? Because my dad, when I was younger, but obviously much younger, living at home, was like, I really think you'll enjoy watching The Birds. It's a really good film. I know.
Parents.
And I've never been so scared in my life. It's really sinister.
Do you know what? In their defence, like, I remember my mum saying, well, it was on TV and it was kind of earlier. I think it was about 8 o'clock or something. And I think it is only a 12. I just think it's such a scary premise. It's so... I think Tim Curry, because he looks like just a regular man that's just put creepy makeup on. Like, that's what scared me more, not that it was like a supernatural thing. And I bet with the birds, I bet your dad was just like, it's fine, it's just about some birds, it's not scary. And you were there like, never sleeping again.
I mean, it's advertised as a Hitchcock thriller, wasn't it? Not really sure where his head was at, but I did watch it. Sat there, terrified on the sea.
Goodness, I bet.
Oh, nice. So there you go. So I have seen some films.
Well, well done you. And maybe this is why you don't like them, because that intensity when you were young watching The Birds, you're like, now, no.
No, it's just because they're too long. I just don't have the patience to sit through. I can't even Love Actually, I try and watch in 2 stages. I know.
Oh, I love Love Actually. What a Christmas film.
I know, that's one of the best films ever, actually.
Well, that and The Wizard of Oz, yeah? Your two favourites.
Yeah, see? Christmas films. The Wizard of Oz is good.
Wizard of Oz isn't a Christmas film.
It's shown every Christmas.
So it's a Stuart Little. That doesn't mean it's a Christmas film.
Oh, well, I just always... I used to watch it every Christmas.
That's quite nice.
When I think about it, it's quite weird, isn't it? There's a lot of bad stuff goes on. God.
Yeah, I feel like go back and watch it now. It's fairly terrifying. Okay, perfect. Well, thank you so much. Amazing job as always. If anyone wants to share their childhood terrifying films that their parents let them watch, please do. We don't want to know your favourites. We just want to know the terrifying ones that your parents allowed you to watch that scarred you for life. That's what I want to know about. I'm just nosy. Oh
my gosh. Lovely note to end on. No one's listening. Everyone's given up. Just us. Yeah.
They gave up when you talked about cat vomit. They were like, turning off now. This one's not for me.
Even the surgeons have switched off now.
The poor person in surgery has woken up and gone, switch this off. For God's sake, I cannot take any more of this utter rabbiting on nonsense. No.
Thank you for listening to HIV Hope and Charity. If you'd like to know more about the work that we do, visit tvps.org.uk. And please like, subscribe, and rate the podcast if you enjoyed it.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.